Man, I didn't record any of that shit.
Oh, glad I restarted that bit.
Yeah, dude.
God damn it. 5 minutes
on dude, it. I hit it. What did it? God damn it.
Are we recording now?
We're recording. I sure hope so. It's, okay. The numbers are going.
All right.
I should know it.
Another 2 hours of burping up beer in this.
Oh, God damn it.
Okay, we're starting in 5, 4. Welcome to Conspiracy Beer Me. I'm Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith.
And you're listening to the podcast that's making conspiracies fun again. On this episode, we are talking about Take the Quantum Leap, Grandpa.
Hell yeah, Scott Bakula, my man.
Yeah, take it. We are excited. This is a really cool one. A nice blend of science and pop culture, which I think is
cool.
Nice fit for us. Thank you to all of you who recently joined our Patreon.
Yeah,
appreciate
this has been
the
a lot.
Support. If you're not doing it, you can do it. Or, you know, you can also find us on Spotify Premium.
That's right. If your credit card's already in there, you can just hit subscribe and you get all the Patreon episodes. Justin just spilled beer on himself. Soon we'll have video. The more of you that subscribe, we'll have video so you can see Justin. It looks like he just wet his pants.
I'm not even drunk.
You need some calico cut pants there. You got to give.
Yeah, this is just going to sit here for the entire episode and soak in.
That's amazing. Do you need a change? anyway, how is that so shook up?
I don't know. We drink beer and we talk about conspiracies with the hope of remember when they were fun? That's what we say. They used to be fun.
Yeah, now they're scary. So we're trying to make them fun again. But thank you again to everyone. You can join us on Spotify Premium, Patreon. We have merch. We haven't really promoted our merch yet, but we do have a website. Yep. You can check stuff out there. So check
us
out.
We're here in the studio, which is our live, our studio space. And we might even have a live show next month.
Oh, yeah.
We'll keep you posted on that. We're very excited. And also very excited for our guest. He's been with us once before, and he's always a blast to have on the pod. Please welcome back. Very funny comic, friend of the pod, Brent Blakeney.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Drink it. That was a deep resonation.
It's tall boy. So.
Okay.
It's also 9.5%.
Oh, hell yeah.
The higher the alcohol content.
We didn't have to bring that up.
Yeah, inches and percent. It's a big fucking beer.
Good to be back, guys.
Yeah, we're glad to have you.
Excited to do this again.
And, yeah.
Yeah, how have you been?
Good.
You've been traveling a lot.
Traveling a lot, yeah, doing a lot of stand-up dates. Out and about, so yeah, I don't know. It's good to be back.
Where's your next out of town show?
When does this come out?
This will be tomorrow and Sunday.
Yeah, so both. Yeah.
So the next one is tomorrow night. I guess the day this comes out in Mooresville, North Carolina.
Okay.
And then this weekend, Thursday through Saturday, I'm in Greenville, South Carolina.
Oh, what a great town.
Yeah.
Underrated town.
Beautiful river.
So nice. Yeah. Just really quaint. Everything's fun to walk around to. Mm-hmm.
In the mountains.
Yeah.
It's in the mountains?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Kind of foothills, but yeah.
I'm always just focused on my beer in front of me. I don't know. Look around.
when I'm driving, I'm focused on my beer.
Well, I don't know how I get there, but I go there for my friend owns an improv theater there. So,
Alchemy. Yeah, yeah. They do the New South Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did
that's
that
cool.
Yeah.
Ooh, long time ago.
Yeah. Well, so you've been awesome, tour of John Reap. Is that who you've been on?
Yes.
Nice.
Well, yeah. We were just in D.C. this past weekend.
Nice.
Very cool.
And then. Can I plug?
Yeah, plug.
Okay. October 7th at Mystic Distillery in Durham.
Oh, what a great show.
That's such a fun show.
John's actually coming in. And
rad.
Recording it, like video.
Oh, nice.
So doing, I mean, you call it a special?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of looking at it like, you know,
If you're one of our local listeners, you should get out to one. Yeah. Mystic Distillery show is rad as it is.
Yeah.
But
absolutely.
To have John Reap.
Mystic, period.
Yeah. It's a
I
cool
was drinking
spot.
Mystic Distillery gin and tonics. They're gin.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It's so
Do
good.
You like gin normally?
No.
Me either.
And really?
It's good.
And it's so good.
It's
so
I love
good.
Gin.
Yeah. Have you done the inside?
I haven't done it inside.
Okay. So cool.
I did it outside.
So
great
cool.
time.
Yeah. Did you do it with Mellow at the beginning of this year?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, that was the only one outside we did. But then that whole
That spot's
room.
Cool. The barrel room's awesome.
So we're doing it in there now. So
yeah, that's rad.
We'll get you back out there.
Oh, man, I look
really
forward
great
to
show.
It.
Yeah.
Well, do you switching pivoting just slightly to our topic? Do you like time travel movies? Is that a genre that you resonates with you?
Back to the Future, I think, if you were to press me, is my favorite movie of all time.
Perfect. Mine too.
Hell yeah.
Perfect.
That and Goonies.
This is
no time traveling Goonies, but pretty cool.
Well, kind of.
Similar. They're a year apart.
Back to the Future and When Harry Met Sally. Those are my two.
Yeah, the orgasm scene and time travel.
Harry and the Hendersons.
Well, there were two seemingly unrelated events that, you know, I was kind of following these two things, and I was like, you know what? These are actually really, really related. One is pop culture. One is hard science. And it presented a rare opportunity that we've never taken on this podcast to discuss one of time travel's greatest mysteries, which is called the grandfather paradox.
Ooh.
Yeah. So this is the paradox of Back to the Future, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It is, you know, if you go back to the in time and in the simplest form, you kill your grandfather, therefore preventing yourself from existing. How can you go back in time? That's the paradox. So that's Doc. Like, Marty.
Yeah.
You cannot have any contact with your family. He's like, I already fucked my mom. He's like, oh, shit.
Marty. You got a Rick and Morty accent parents. Versus
Yeah, right.
I can quote it. Don't even.
Why is it not the grandmother paradox?
Because we live in a world where men mostly do science because they're I don't know. I don't know.
Bad to kill women. There you go.
Yeah, but also mostly violence against women. So
I think that's
why
probably
is it a grandmother.
I think it's probably the one.
That's hilarious. You never see like a real racist person into like deep into science.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Real misogynistic person. I guess you probably have misogynistic people.
Oh, yeah.
Because then it would be like a very, like you just don't have any paradoxes that are like steeped in racism like that. They're always named for.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
I'm going to get back.
But like kind of almost going the other way. Like a lot of, you know, if someone asks you, like, if you could go back in time, what would you do? And so many people are like, oh, I'd kill Hitler.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. Well, why is that the number one?
Right.
But you know what? Here's the interesting thing about that, right? Because it fits in with the idea of the grandfather paradox is, if you could go back in time and change something, and almost everyone says, I would go back and kill Hitler, or I would go back and... It's like, well, what if you did kill Hitler? I understand the reason why you'd want to, because we think of Hitler as like, well, Hitler single-handedly caused the extinction or the killing of 9.5 or whatever the number is.
Yeah.
But if you killed Hitler, like, would the Allied powers come together to defeat Hitler, which paved the way to like a period of like stability in the United Nations, which then led to everything that happened post Hitler. Like probably not.
Like, would we be like as a world, would we be more divided?
Or would Russia have won the war? And now we live in a world where Russia is.
But if you kill Hitler, do you even have the war?
Right. Depends on when you kill him.
Right, but if you don't have the war,
like you're really shitty at time travel, and you kill him way late into the war, it's like, oh, now it's just, you couldn't do a little better, dude?
I killed Hitler. He was 80. He was in Argentina, but you know, I killed him. I did it.
I think that like, the grandfather paradox is not just like, can you do, I mean, in its simplest form, can you go back in time and do something that would prevent you from being born? Mm. It's also like if you go back in time and muck around enough, does it somehow create a time loop or does it create a, you know, some kind of parallel? Like what happens? And that's like central to so many time travel movies, right? Like I think the Terminator has tried in like it's since the first one to wrestle through this sort of time loop idea, right? Some people call it the predestination loop or the bootstrap loop, which essentially is like,
think he knows
what about
this.
If like you go back in time and by doing so you create the events that allow you to therefore travel in time,
right?
So it's like, hey, you need this mathematical formula to travel in time. I jump back, give it to myself at age 9 and be like, hold on to this, you're gonna need this,
right?
It's like, well, that's like the predestination loop.
Okay.
Is that Star Trek 4? Don't they do something? Yeah. Isn't there something that where like they go back and give?
Right.
Oh, is it
some formula?
Yeah, it's a transparent aluminum.
It's
so they can carry the whale and the bird of prey. Yes.
No, but somebody at some point in Star Trek gives them like the formula, and he's like, "What's this?" And he's like, "This is the formula to teleport through space." And he's like, "Wow."
Oh, that's
that's one of the new Star Trek.
Oh, yes, that's a different one.
Yes. You're right.
Yes.
Well, have you? It's funny you mentioned like favorite. Have you guys ever read 11/22/63?
No, I want to though. Is that the Stephen King? No, I want
to.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, how can I do this without
spoiling it?
Spoil it. Well, it's been around since 63.
No, it's a time like old. This guy finds a like a time door almost. And
wait, I've seen the movie based on it, though.
Or it's like a TV series
where you can walk through a tunnel. And that's a great show. Yeah,
the book is
I'm sure.
It's such a boner thing to say. The book is better. The book is way better. But like
When's the movie better? What's a good example of the movie
Is the movie better?
When they write the book after.
The new Dune.
Oh, yeah.
The new Dune is better than the book.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah,
I can't
really
read
good.
Dune. I'm like, this is boring politics.
I had to listen to it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And I enjoyed it, but I saw the movie. I was like, oh, this is so much better.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Yeah, okay. So what happened?
Well, no, what was an interesting part in that book that I really liked is like he was going back to accomplish a task. If you know anything about history, you know what happened on 11/22/63. But like the past fought him.
Yes.
Like
This idea that time always tries to like.
Correct.
Like kind of the predestination thing you were talking about. Like no matter what, time itself wants to exist in the way it's existed.
Yes, that's correct.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Right. Which is my favorite time travel movie. One of my favorite movies of all time. I get pressed by my kids, and I'm always like, but 12 Monkeys.
Oh, I love that movie.
Ooh, great time travel movie. And Bruce Willis in there, he says all the time, like the people are like, are you trying to change the past? And he's like, you can't change the past. It's already happened. There's nothing I can do to change the past. And
he's
trying
to help the future with knowledge from the past.
That's right. Like, I'm just trying to help the future with gaining understanding of what the virus that's killing them all in the future.
God, I love that movie. I want to watch it.
It's really
right
good.
Now. Fuck this pod. I'm out.
I've never that was a movie that looked interesting.
You've never seen it?
No, because it was like I wasn't
so good.
This would be so I wasn't old enough.
Oh, that's
I was like what, like 96, 97?
Yeah. Brad Pitt's it's my favorite Brad Pitt.
It's so good, man.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Well, this discussion sets the stage for the first of our two odd events that are strangely related, which is NBC. Just recently announced that they are rebooting, or really a sequel is now out. I think the first episode's out to the 1989 classic TV show Quantum Leap.
Hell yeah.
Right? Which the original version, for those listening who most probably have never seen the original, it was a 5-year run.
Yeah, it was one of my favorite shows.
It's a great show. Did you ever see Quantum Leap?
I never watched it, but I get I know the premise.
The premise, yeah.
It starred Scott Bakula, who was a scientist who, great grift. He had a time machine that he got government funding for, like $43 billion. And then eventually, you know, this always happens. They're like, we want some damn results, you know? And he's like, I'll send myself through. And so he sends himself through the machine. And then he just sort of starts sort of skipping through time, leaping, so to speak. But here's what happens.
Quantumly.
He doesn't necessarily leap into the past. His conscious enters into another person. And he's in the past, and he's himself, but the people in the other world see him as whoever he's leaped into.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which led to some very poignant and awkward episodes, one where he was a black man in the 1950s, and then when he was someone with Down syndrome. That was a – boy, that was
That's the meme.
Yeah, is the meme, yeah.
Like the door closes, and he sees –
Is that blackface –
if it's his brain in there? No, because he didn't choose to put it on.
No, but because he's because there's an actor playing the black role.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Did he affect his speech? I can't remember that episode.
That's what I was wondering, if it was his.
No, no, I don't think Scott Bakula ever. I think that's how they got around it. I don't think he ever changed how
anything.
He spoke.
Anything.
Because
it
came out
yeah.
as the character.
Yeah, right.
When
he
you
didn't
saw
have
the
to do anything.
Other,
he just.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good PC yeah. way to do it for sure.
Yeah, it's not like a puppet.
No, no, no.
Which I just want. I want to just start doing puppets that are not politically. Like, I'm not.
Jeff Dunham?
You can't do black puppets.
Jeff Dunham.
I can't. Jeff Dunham is a black puppet.
No, he didn't do
a, I mean,
he didn't do a black
he's
puppet.
Done people of color, which is.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
I mean, you know, I don't think anyone's going to say Jeff Dunham is politically correct.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast where we critique Jeff Dunham's act every week for an hour.
This is what people pay for.
Well, this idea that, like, I mean, obviously it's television, jumping into another person across time is, I mean, it seems kind of like TV nonsense, science fiction, but it actually might deal with a scientific principle which we continue to unravel and a major development in it quite recently, like in the last week, and that's the idea of quantum entanglement.
Yes.
Now, the idea of quantum entanglement is quite old. It was first proposed in 1935 by none other than Albert Einstein and his colleague, Dr. Rosen. Is that right? Rosen-Einstein Bridge? Is that what
oh,
it's called?
Oh, yeah. Einstein-Rosen Bridge.
Einstein-Rosen Bridge.
Yeah.
And which is also what
it's not his name is a theory.
Yeah, no, but yeah. The way you said it, like all rolled into one. It sounds like,
yeah.
Rosen-Einstein Bridge.
Yeah, you know,
Dr. Einstein Rosen Bridge.
Yeah. No. You built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
Said, if you go travel through time, why not do it with style?
Exactly.
Well, they proposed, what they observed the phenomena of entanglement, and they said this is why quantum physics is an incomplete theory. It's an incomplete system because we can observe this and you can't explain it on your, you know, based on quantum. And then in the last 90 years, people have sought to explain the general like paradox of quantum entanglement.
Okay.
Including Dr. Schrodinger. You know that guy?
Oh, yeah, the guy with the cats. Yeah.
Right.
This is one of those topics that I'm so interested in, and I know just enough to know I'm real stupid.
Yeah. Oh, it's a real, yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, no, no.
Because isn't that whole, the, Shane, can you say that name again, the bridge?
Oh, Isaac, damn it.
Einstein-Rosenberg.
Yeah, wasn't that the kind of concept behind Interstellar?
Yes.
Yes.
About the folding.
Yes.
Okay.
Also, so, yeah.
Did I just spoil later?
No. Not at all.
It's also the concept behind the Rainbow Bridge in Asgard. That
the Bifrost.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's in theory at Einstein-Rosen Bridge.
Do we need to describe what quantum entanglement is before we get too deep? Because I feel like we're just throwing it around like people.
Well, we're about to explain.
Okay. Get to the cat because
so,
I love
so,
this.
Yeah, because Schrodinger proposed an example to explain what entanglement was, which is the idea of a cat and a vial of poison inside of a box to which no information can escape. But at some point, the poison vial will crack open and it will kill the cat. And so the question is when the cat is in the box, is it alive or is it dead?
Right.
And the answer is, from a quantum entanglement, is it's both. The cat is both alive and the cat is dead at the same time. That's the general paradox of Schrodinger's cat.
Yeah. Okay. Because it's not, because nothing is answered until it's observed.
Yeah, right. So once you observe it, it's going to be dead because if you open the box.
Or it might still be alive.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Because you don't know when.
You don't know.
The timer with the radioactive decay of the particle and stuff like that. You don't know until you observe it.
Yes.
Yeah, really interesting concept.
Right. And so with quantum entanglement, in the same sort of way, two particles can be entangled where they are definitely dependent. They can interact. They can seemingly communicate. One particle can control another particle and vice versa. Paradoxically, this can happen across huge distances of space.
Yeah, don't they call it spooky action at a distance or something like
spooky
that?
Spooky action at a distance. We're like, they've had particles in separate buildings across the country. And they're like, okay, spin that particle clockwise. And they're like, okay. And the particle across the country spins counterclockwise. And they're like, okay, reverse it. And it's like, clearly these two particles are entangled. Mm-hmm. But somehow across a space that they don't understand, like how are... But once you have two entangled particles, it's very predictable that these two particles are linked and the distance between them has no... Which violates a fundamental rule of physics.
Right. Speed of light, right?
Right. But it's a real phenomena. And that's what people have tried to figure out.
It's so cool. I love it. It opens the world up to so many fun things, which we'll maybe talk about in this podcast.
Is it hit a point, though, where you're just like, hey, can we... Stop. Like,
Can we just go back to reading newspapers?
I know. It's such an old guy yells at cloud idea, but I'm just like, hey, don't we want, isn't mystery fun?
Yeah.
Isn't like any mystery?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I think it's what the mystery is this, right?
How the fuck does this work? Yes.
Well, yes. We don't understand how it works. We understand it enough that we can replicate it. We know how to make entangled particles at this point. And
that's just comedy, baby.
Yeah.
I know enough to make it work twice, but I don't know how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually had to ask someone the other day. I had to ask Mark Brady. I was like, I don't know why that bit's funny. And then he had to explain why my own bit was funny. Like, because
I'll be on stage and I'm like, why
are they laughing?
Yeah.
And this is like this is an A bit. This is in every set. I'm like,
I don't understand
why any of this works.
Yeah. You said it once and it works. You're like, I guess I'll just keep saying it.
Keep saying it.
That's the great thing about comedy.
The worst thing after a show where someone's like, your bit on this was hilarious. And you're like, that bit's terrible.
I don't even like it.
I had to do the time.
Yeah. My problem is I always laugh at the part that isn't funny. It's like a weird transition that like they probably say all the time and it's just a funny turn of a phrase that nobody laughs at. And you can hear me in the back of the club go, ha! And everyone's like, God, this guy. Fuck this guy.
That's just the inside baseball.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, yeah.
When you laugh when like your friend
laugh when I know a comic's material really well. So usually someone local. And they do a bit in a part that normally hits hard.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Just goes flat.
I just, every time.
I'm like,
yeah. What's that called? Schadenfreude's cat?
Oh, yeah. Schadenfreude's
all. Oh, man, good callback, dude. Thanks. That was great.
Thanks.
So here's where it gets interesting, guys, is that we know that we can connect entangled particles across a vast amount of space. And there doesn't seem to be any limit to the amount of space that we can hypothetically entangle particles. Well, then science were like, well, maybe, you know, like the dimension of space is not the only dimension which surrounds us. We're also surrounded by the dimension of time. Mm-hmm. And perhaps... these quantum particles, these entangled, maybe a particle can be entangled with something in the past, which is where we stand now, right? That like we are at a point in history where we're trying to figure out if we can identify particles that are entangled with another particle that's not in the same time space.
Does this mean that like, boomer thoughts are entangled with their thoughts back when they were kids, and they just they keep spinning the wrong direction for the time.
But aren't we kind of in a way? I don't know. Like you said that, and that it reminded me of the idea that like when you look at the stars, like you're seeing
dead light.
The star, yeah. You're seeing however long it's taken. Like you're kind of.
You're seeing the past.
Yeah, you're kind of seeing the past in a way. Mm. Like you're kind of entangled. I don't know if
it's informing your choices today based on what you're seeing in a sense. So it's I see what you're saying. That's interesting. I never thought
about that. Yeah, that's interesting. Hmm. I don't know why it's interesting.
Well, okay. Well, look,
we need a comic to explain it to.
Let me circle back.
I don't know why that's interesting.
No, you know, someone says something, you're like, oh, yeah, interesting. Yeah. And you're like, wait, why is that interesting?
Yeah, but why?
He just described starlight. So when when you were talking about the two particles like across the country in different buildings or said, hey, spin that clockwise.
Yeah, right.
Is it immediate?
Yeah, yeah. They're,
okay. I was going to say, because like then that's in, like it'd be interesting. It was like, okay, we started. Okay, now then that one started. Like if there some sort of time, not dilation.
Yeah,
like there's time difference.
Yeah, there's got to be some difference.
I mean, they're
right?
on West Coast time. Like,
yeah, exactly.
That's not a thing.
I don't know.
No, West. No,
they're on Andromeda time. They're going to spin a little slower.
All this time zone shit is all bullshit.
It's just sunlight.
That's
it's
right.
all just sun. Yeah. It's just how all. The, yeah, it's like there's one time. It's Greenwich Mean Time. That's the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's 24
like white English people decided what time exactly. it was in Greenwich.
Thank you.
Like,
that's, yeah. 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 Why are you mad that it's sunrise at noon?
Right.
And like sunset is at 11 p.m. Why do you like why are we fixated on an idea that like in California the sunrise is at 1300 hours? I don't, you know, it's like why do we care?
Well, time's made up anyway.
That's what I'm saying. It just doesn't make any sense to me why people are like, why do I need the sun to come up at 7 a.m. in like all four regions of our country? I really honestly don't get it.
Well, it's so you don't call California and be like, those fuckers are lazy. They're not up yet. 7 a.m. in my time. But
you can convert. If you all are on the same time and you're like, yeah, in California, like our office is open at 1300 hours. Like, why? I seriously don't.
Well, I mean, wasn't it originally all based on like
agriculture?
Yeah, agriculture.
Yeah. Well, that's how fucking dumb are farmers?
They weren't calling anybody back then.
Yeah.
They have roosters. Why do they need a time zone?
I'm saying, look, you get up when the sun rises. Like, you're like, it's not like 7 o'clock in California, which is
10 o'clock like, here.
No, other way around.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
10 o'clock. Okay,
no wonder you've been late or early to things.
No, wait. Yeah, no, you're right. 7 o'clock there is 10 o'clock here.
Yeah,
you're right. Okay, but like that's still 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
So it's like the sun comes up in California in 10 o'clock. That's way easier to be.
Oh, right.
No, they're keeping it uniformed as far as.
Instead of thinking about
dude, that's hard. You're gonna have to keep track of all that for all the states.
To think about this, honestly, to think about the idea that like
your brain.
What time is it in California? What time is it here? It's like it's all the same time.
I can understand that better than I can understand because the eastern to central change. Is 1 hour outside of Nashville.
Yeah.
All right, that's so where like, you go, you get done with the bar, you drive a little.
Yeah. You drive an hour and then you're at the, I guess at the same time.
Yeah. The hard lines don't make sense.
Yeah.
They need to be a gradient of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
What? And you need to have.
What?
Yeah. It needs to go with the shade of the sun. So like you shouldn't have like a hard line. It's like an hour
that's
earlier
what I'm
here.
Saying.
Yeah. But it should be like, you should still have a clock that updates.
We should just all have one clock. Every clock should say the same exact time.
I don't know. I think this is all insanity. This is straight insanity.
We're just measuring one rotation of the Earth.
Yeah.
Where you are in that rotation is irrelevant.
Yeah.
Our office opens at, 1400.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why you're on military time, first of all.
Well, because you can't. What are you going to switch to PM in this? Well, I guess when you're past the meridian. What a fucking idiot I am. Can I get another beer? None of this is making sense.
Can I have a weird, I'm going to bring it back a little bit, but also probably take it further away.
Seems right on point for this topic.
Episode.
Yeah, I got two entangled theories, but they're connected.
I have tried so hard. So I mentioned Interstellar earlier. Mm-hmm. They go to that planet and
Murph.
Murph. Murph?
Isn't that his like daughter's
That's
name?
That's his daughter. Yeah. Murph. How'd you say that was a planet? Yeah. No, they go to the water planet.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, that one's cool.
An hour on this planet is X amount of
Years.
Because
the gravity.
3 years on Earth.
Because of the gravity.
Yeah.
For all things good and holy, I do not understand how that works.
Oh.
I do not understand it.
No.
Because it's not like they were on the planet and like it was closer to the black hole, but like it wasn't like they were heavier on the water planet and they had like a hard time. Yeah.
No,
there was like, it's just in relation to the gravitational pull of the black hole. It just makes time different.
I understood it until you mentioned it when I was drinking. And now I'm like, fuck, I don't think I get anything.
Yeah.
I'll
explain it to you tomorrow.
Okay.
Because I do know
Shoot
this.
Me a text.
I do know this. I just can't think of it right
we'll
now.
We'll do a little bonus episode.
Yeah, there we go.
Well, they did.
But it's also why the idea of infinity can't exist.
Oh.
Because you have to have a starting point somewhere. Because if you have infinite backwards, you'd never get to this point.
Right.
Right.
And the universe deals in entropy, so how, like, you can't have entropy if there is no end.
Oh, I never, that's, yeah.
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 It reminds me of my favorite creation story, which comes from the Indian text, the Rig Vedas.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we've mentioned it once before where it says.
He was a wrestler?
Yeah.
Rick,
cage match. He would, he and Cactus Jack would barbed wire matches. It was crazy.
I'm glad we're making fun of the holiest of holy books of the of the Hindus.
And the one that's probably right.
There's this line where they say, before there was nothing, and even before there was not nothing. And I've always liked that a lot. Like, because, like, even the concept of nothing, they're like, go even before there was even not nothing. And I'm like, oh, that's weird.
Well, I think that kind of speaks to anybody's history, right? Because we think that, you know, we started at this time on Earth, or the universe started this, but there's people before us on Earth. Like, if you listen to our podcast.
And then if you go before there were any people, and you're like, there was nothing, and they're saying, well, go beyond even before there was not nothing. And that's like, I can't even visualize, like,
you can't, that. Yeah, fathom.
Yeah, it's because it's not, it's infinity with no starting point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it's weird. I don't know, man. We haven't had any drugs other than alcohol, but it seems
like,
and like barely any alcohol.
I know. What the hell is happening?
Well, here's what scientists have been trying. Well, not trying. They have done this across time zones.
Okay,
and they call it quantum cloning, which sounds a lot like quantum leaping, where they're like, we can across time seem to link particles. And here's what's very interesting.
Wait, what do you mean across time?
Across time space. They can have a particle in two different times that seem to be linked. And here's what's weird, Brent, is that the particles seem to be self-defensive. So
time protects itself.
Time protects itself.
The universe harmonizes.
Oh.
Stephen King said that. Well, book I mentioned earlier.
No spoilers.
Earlier in the podcast.
Yes.
That's right.
Which happened right now.
If someone had fast forwarded, yes.
This is the best.
Yeah, how crazy is this? I mean, it's like, so they would do these things where they were like, they would entangle these particles that were just. You know how science is. We're like, you think about this, and you're like,
you know science.
You think like, oh, they're like 4 weeks apart. No, they're like a fraction of second apart.
Yeah.
Right. And they're like, but they're entangled. And they're like, well, what if we try to destroy the one in the past? What would it do the future? And they're like, we can't. No matter what we do to it, like, we can't destroy it.
And they tried lasers.
I mean, they tried everything. They shot it through the. Hadron. I'm trying not to do your bit about the boss. The fucking Hadron Collider.
No, this Hadron Collider.
I love that bit. I especially love when you go, let's go get some dunks. And like half the southern audiences that you do it to are like, huh?
Yeah. If you've been anywhere in the north or lived there for a while, you're like, oh, we get it.
Yep.
That kind of ties into like, you guys might have covered it on the podcast before, but when they like turned on the collider in
CERN,
in like 2012,
Or
something like that.
Right, when the world ended.
It sent us into this.
Yeah, we've lived in this parallel universe ever since because it tried to destroy the universe, and instead it fractured. That gave rise to the Mandela effect and all sorts of
Harambe.
Is that the gorilla?
Yeah.
That's when it all started going to shit.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weren't there women like in love with him?
Yeah, they were sending him love
letters. There was like a weird Japanese fetish with that gorilla.
Yeah,
that's how crazy are. Something happened in 2012.
Way off the rails. Because I almost took it even a step further about, have you guys ever heard of, there's this syndrome that you can double check me. It tends to be Japanese tourists get when they visit a city like Paris and it's not as like visually and like emotionally romantic and they get like physically ill.
Holy cow. You see Japanese people throwing up. Everywhere. Yeah. Like, ooh, that's
Hang on.
That's amazing.
We can keep talking. Hang on.
Wait, that's...
And this is all because TikTok ruined us.
We just call that Karens in America.
Yeah.
Like, this is not what the brochure had.
That's right.
That's kind of what it is, but...
I expected free hot dogs at Costco.
I've never been to Japan. Not on my list. Not even in my top 10.
Really?
Okay, it's called Paris Syndrome.
Okay.
Paris?
Yes. Syndrome? And it's a sense of extreme disappointment exhibited by some individuals when visiting Paris who feel that the city was not what they expected. It's like a hyper form of culture shock. And the syndrome is characterized by a number of psychiatric symptoms such as acute delusional states, hallucinations,
crazy,
feeling of persecution, derealization, depersonalization, anxiety, and dizziness, sweating, vomiting.
This makes me feel good because this to me proves that we've come a full 180 from Hitler, because when Hitler rolled into Paris, he loved it. Ooh. And now people are like, I hate it. It's not it's not shiny.
What is the chance?
They're not going to kill people. It's good.
That some of these people ended up in Paris, Georgia.
There was that woman in North Carolina that drove.
Oh, my God. Because of TikTok.
Yeah,
TikTok.
Oh, my God.
To Gastonia. Somebody was like, this is Gastonia, North Carolina. And they just showed a video of like the Alps. And this lady like took a detour on a road trip because she wanted to see the mountains.
Most people
was just Gastonia.
I would be so ashamed if I did that. And that woman posted that she fell for it. Like, that's the level of just,
But a guy went to Washington, D.C. and tried to like take over a basement of a pizza shop trafficking children. And now he's like a Fox News correspondent.
No,
like,
he's not.
No, I mean, but he's a hero.
But it's like on the
there's no shame in this world.
Like the FDA had to come out within the last week and tell people not to cook chicken and NyQuil.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
it's crazy.
They're messing with
what?
NyQuil. Like that was some online.
You just
trend.
Drink the NyQuil.
Okay, that's what she said. But you said it real weird.
Dude, we used to drink NyQuil in college, but we didn't cook chicken with it because why would we waste good chicken?
Yeah, why? Yeah, I don't think NyQuil's kind of tasty.
It's one of the. So I'm not advocating.
Don't
at all
do this.
I'm not advocating. Do not do it. But it's one of the few drugs that has four distinct levels of dextromethorphan has four distinct levels of how it affects you. Do not do it. But definitely don't cook it in chicken.
Isn't that stuff? If you cook NyQuil, it will. What is the thing that you can't buy off the shelf anymore because people figured out how to like heat it up?
Oh, Sudafed.
Sudafed. Yeah.
Oh, that's
you
it.
Could, yeah. Yeah.
You can buy it.
You can
still get it.
It,
but like you can't buy it in bulk.
You can come in like every day.
And like the smaller the town, the harder it is to get in larger quantities.
Yeah. You've noticed.
It's true with everything. What can you buy in a small town in a large?
Not Sudafed.
Man, why are you buying 42 propane tanks, Tony?
There's only 42 people in this town.
This is on January 4th.
Hey, don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry. It's fine.
Why you need all them American flags?
Well, the tiki torch is gone.
Hi, Sheriff Willis. This guy just came in here and bought 142 tiki torches. Okay.
Is he having a party? No party.
He said he was going to Charlottesville.
It was big city.
So imagine to our, if you go back to our grandfather paradox, mm-hmm. and you're like, I'm going to test this quantum cloning theory. And I'm able to time travel back in time, and I'm like, oh, there's my grandfather. I'm going to kill him. And you pull the gun, and you fire it, and you're like
it doesn't work.
Yeah, or you're like, I missed, or you're like, I'm going to go point blank, and like the gun jams, and you're just like, no matter what I try, because these particles are entangled, like you can't destroy this. because of that. There's a, and if you override the self-defensive mechanism, that's when scientists are saying that creates problems.
Well, I mean, but isn't like on a bigger level, wouldn't that be kind of a theory of why time travel isn't possible?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Like you can't.
No, it's possible, but
go on.
Traveling to the past doesn't, it's not, you can't travel to the past and gain any information that would change where you would return to in the future. Mm. There might be some slight differences, but it wouldn't be anything that's like where the particles would need to be self-defensive. Like you can't go back in the past and do anything. And if you do, if you really try to override the mechanism of these particles, it would fracture off, preserve the timeline, and create an alternate timeline.
Yeah, that's Back to the Future too.
Right.
Yeah.
Those two streams might come back together at some point, right? Which is what happened with the Montauk Project when they like inadvertently just ripped a fucking hole in the space-time continuum and they built a time tunnel between the 70s and the 40s to repair it all. So the two worlds would like reconvene.
Wait, is this a movie? Or?
No, that's a real fucking thing.
It's not Wikipedia.
Yeah, it's
no, I'm joking. It's a thing.
It's a real thing. It's a real like
it's the Philadelphia experiment. It's the Philadelphia there's books, experience. There's movies about it.
It's a real thing.
Okay.
It's a real thing, but maybe it's not, you know.
Yeah,
but
it's one of those.
It's definitely the thing that some people really, really believe happened. Yeah.
They time traveled a ship into the future and then there's like people stuck halfway in the hull, like soldiers, like just Navy seamen, just like half bodies.
Just that little bit of like people seeing that just really fucked up the future. So then they had to go and like really like,
yeah,
it's almost like
sew
like,
it back together.
Yeah.
Do you think there's something that like you see those pictures where it's like pictures from the past, but you see a guy that looks like he's definitely holding an iPhone?
Oh, yeah. He's like,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, right. People all the time are like walking. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The one explanation for that I've seen is like, oh, you know, people that are hard of hearing had a device that they used back then. I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I've never seen, like, where do we not see a museum that has it? And maybe there is. I don't know. I'm not a museum goer. But they might be.
I think the right move there is like to sort of envision what futuristic dress is going to be. And then just walk around public places that are photographed and just like, sort of like photobomb people that like 100 years are like, what is this guy wearing a radiation suit for in Raleigh, North Carolina?
All those people are just social media people, but influencers back in the day. Like, what are these fucking assholes doing? I'm the main character, yes.
Why is this guy wearing shades in the building?
Yeah, I always like try to put my hands on my ears or like pretend I'm speaking into the like a device.
Yeah, that's just it's just a long con.
It is. Yeah. You'll never get to see the you'll never come to fruition for you, but that's how committed you are to the bit.
And this brings us this whole idea to the second major story to break. And I will say, as I was writing this out, I was like, man, it would be really cool, very improbable, but really cool if anybody who works at this place somehow comes to know this episode. I know we do have some scientists who listen.
Sure.
It's the Sandia National Laboratories and the Max Planck Institute for the Science of Light.
Did you say San Dimas? Because that's Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, another time travel movie.
Sandia National Laboratories football rules! I like the Max Planck Institute for the Science of Light. That rolls right off the tongue. Does. Where do you work? Mipissel. these folks have found a way to replace what is essentially the massive complex machine that can create entangled particles.
Oh.
They have found a machine that's essentially a desktop.
Oh.
It's like,
oh, wow.
Like this big. You know, wow. They call it the looking glass. It's like we can shoot light through the looking glass and we now can entangle light particles that we shoot through, which in my mind is like, well, this is it, right? Like I grew up
I didn't grow up with these computers, but I grew up knowing, you know, like those computers that were like a warehouse that could do basic math. And you're like, oh, wow, great job, guys, you know? And then, like, nowadays, like, my phone is the most, like, in 1960, my phone would blow people's minds away.
Yeah.
And now what we've done is we've taken these things that can entangle particles, and soon we're going to all carry around.
We don't need to.
No.
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 Like, science, come on, man.
God. Because doesn't that, if that's possible, if that becomes to a consumer scale, doesn't that mean that we can control anything? We can control information to where you could say this fact or this fake news is fact over here, and it makes it true over here. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're entangling it to where it's same everywhere all at once.
I guess the question is, like, what does that do?
Right.
Yeah. Well, at the moment, it doesn't do anything because we don't understand it. But if we are able to harness
technology, I don't know what this does, but let's try it out.
Yeah. I mean, CERN, right? Yeah. Let's fucking just fire this thing up
and smash atoms together.
See what happens, man. And you're like, maybe think through that. But
science, all about could it, not should
it.
I love that Patton Oswalt line.
Yeah, it's so good.
All about could it, not should it.
But I think that the thing that is like, if somehow this is the beginning where particle entanglement and quantum cloning becomes something that we can control, or at least we have some sort of like understanding of, and that it can affect certain things. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the practical applications are. You know what?
Teleportation. Portal.
But I also, think
it's to me, especially if you, Shane, one more time on the...
Einstein-Rosenbridge.
Yes.
Einstein-Rosenbridge.
That, if you could... That to me sounds like if you could harness it in a practical way, it's like portal tech.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. If you could listen, if you could figure this out and you could tell people, if you want a vacation that you can remember, we can send you to any time.
I would
in
be
history.
Cool.
And
they're like, well, what if I do like you? There's nothing you can do that can affect our future.
It's Westworld. Just
that is,
shooting
I was
people
about
in the
to
face.
Say the
yeah.
exact same thing.
Yeah,
it's like, I skipped that.
Oh, the first few seasons are okay, but
yeah,
first two.
Yeah, I stopped watching. I tried to watch this new season.
Well, it's essentially they go to a amusement park. That's
it's,
what I want to call it.
Yeah, an amusement park, right?
I think I saw some guys like sexually assaulting a woman.
Yeah, because you can. And they're all
robots. And I was like, I don't know if I...
You can, like, shoot them. And...
Yeah, I was like, I don't know if I like it. I
get that. But it wasn't about that. Because
I feel like that's how people go to Disney, where they're just like, here comes Goofy. Let me just kick him in the balls.
It's pretty much bullshit. Disney World, but, like, Old West.
Mm-hmm.
Where would you go? When would you go?
Oh.
Because I would say, I'll roll this back real quick. I would say even if you had portal tech... in just a sense, on Earth, and you could kind of fold space, and I could just, you know, my parents live in Virginia, and it would be so much nicer just to be like, blurp, and like walk through and visit them for a day than have to like load up the car and drive 3 hours.
That's so wholesome.
Well, that's but that's probably right. That makes more sense than spatial.
Yeah, fuck Elon Musk's tubes.
Spatial leaping seems more probable than, I mean, less problematic than time.
Yes.
You know, cloning, quantum cloning.
Right. Oh, until you get like crimes.
Right. Yeah.
Like you portal yourself into a bank vault.
Right.
Well, that was in Now You See Me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Better portal yourself a way out of that bank vault. I don't think they open from the inside.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I would like.
Yeah. When would you go?
I don't know, man. I would love to stop a lot of.
Remember,
dumb
you
shit
can't.
I did.
No, but you can't. That's the thing. It's
but
a
I can't stop it, right?
It's like you could stop. You can stop something, but you can't stop anything meaningful.
Could you?
Nothing like.
Well, nothing in my life was meaningful.
No. It's
annoying
not,
and
it's
hurt
not
my
even
feelings.
That. It's not even that. It's like,
I'd go like further back though.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, like if you could like go, like if you could see like Queen live.
Yeah, Wembley. Like,
yeah.
That'd be dope.
That's it. That
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, well, go see, like, Live Aid.
Yeah. Or Lollapalooza.
Yep.
when it all went to shit. I'd love to be there.
Woodstock 99.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I meant. God damn it. Oh, it is.
I'm glad you fart buttoned it.
Yeah. I fart buttoned it because when I can go back in time, I'm going to fix that to where I said Woodstock 99.
Yeah. Oh, Woodstock 99 was a shit hole.
Yeah. I don't know, man. That's the thing is, I mean, if you could go anywhere, you could go anywhere at any time. So why pick one spot? You could just go, I'm going to go here today. I can go here today. I think what I would really like to do is we spend so much time focusing on the leaders of the world and the you know, the big things that happen. I would love to go dive into the minutiae of other people's lives and just look at, like, what's a person do? Like, how sad is their life back when right after the dinosaurs? how'd you get to work? What'd you have to do?
You know what would be weird?
Oh, that's interesting.
You know what would be really weird is that...
So we don't talk about those people.
Is that history as an academic subject, I don't mean it academic in the sense of, like, the academy or, like, doctoral. I mean, just, like, how we think of history. There's this weird phenomenon because history gets lost immediately. Like, you can't have an event happen that's witnessed by, let's say, 10 people, have them write it down and expect all 10 accounts to be anything.
No, yeah.
Because immediately everything becomes about personal bias and subjectivity and all these things.
And your brain changes it too.
So what would be interesting is that if history was replaced not with sort of...
I see where you're going with this.
Right. So history is not about, like, well, there were these, like, secondhand or firsthand accounts, or, and then historians poured back through those and wrote books. And that's how I understand, for example, like, Columbus coming to the New World. What if you're like, I want to go see what it was like. And you're like, oh, fuck, he just fucking just murdered.
That's what I was about to say. I feel like it would be so much grosser.
It would be so, you'd be like, oh, it's not good.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Yeah, no, yeah. Not, yeah.
Yeah, it would be really rough.
Like Bill and Ted's, but like the gritty version.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Yeah, we should fucking reboot that shit.
Yeah, DC Universe.
Yeah, exactly. Zack Snyder, maybe 12 hours long.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you guys stole my joke.
Sorry. I'm good.
Let me go back. I'm going to leap back.
You know where I'd go? I'd go back to the beginning of this podcast.
Yeah,
exactly. And I fix all the jokes that I missed.
Yeah, exactly. That's great. Yeah, that's the thing is people, we've rewritten history so much and rewritten it that it does not fit at all. And we're still trying to do it today. I mean, you work in the educational system. How often are schools trying to change history and be like, well, we don't want to mention these books or don't want to mention these people? Like, it's just – it's so crazy how we're so focused on one thing. What if we saw it for the truth that it was? Would we choose to look, or would we choose to just go back into our phones and just not pay attention?
Red pill, blue pill.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. It's tough.
Do you think we would be better for it? Because they say, like, if you don't understand history...
You're doomed to repeat it.
Yeah, you're doomed to repeat it kind of thing. Like, with, you know, so much, like, stuff going on in the world today that can feel representative of things, like, we learned about. But if, like, you were to experience it firsthand, would you be like, oh, no, we need to really kind of get away from that?
Yeah, I think maybe. I mean, and I think the internet has done that. In some level, I think, like when the Ukraine shit started happening, I was like, I'm going to follow this very closely. And I started watching people get blown up on Reddit. And I was just like, holy shit. Yeah, we shouldn't be fucking at war. But if I was not on Reddit seeing like people getting blown up with drones, I'd be like, it's just another war. You know, it's like the fact that I'm putting my attention there. Or if I was in a portal and I jumped in and I saw people living through the realities and people being conscripted to be literally in the foxhole for just meat fodder, I'd be like, this is
right.
I mean, the internet is kind of that portal now, in a sense. You just have to know where to look. And it's not changing my reality and not changing how I necessarily do things. I just know war is bad, and I just agree that it's badder than it was before because I can see the reality of it. But
well, if you step away from the idea of war, though, and you get into kind of even like, you know, I mean, it's hacky is not the right way to start this sentence, but just kind of the understanding of a suburban white male's public education on slavery.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. If, like, you know, you have this understanding, like, oh, that, hey, you know what? Slavery, that wasn't good.
Yeah.
But if you could actually, like, right. go and visually experience it, like, would that change?
Right.
Not just, like, right, not saying yeah. yourself, but, like, as a whole of a people and understanding right. things
yeah.
yeah,
that had those sort of impacts on mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. society. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Or yeah. would it just become entertainment, you know?
Whoa.
Right? Because that's why I haven't watched, what's the movie with Leo DiCaprio?
Django?
I've not watched that because I'm like, I don't want to watch someone say the N-word for fucking 3 hours. Like, and that's just movie, hit though. People with fucking whips. I don't want to watch that. Yeah. I know it's a great movie, but I'm like,
you know, that's why I don't want to watch Dahmer.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah, you know, it's like it shouldn't be entertainment, but it has because we have to separate ourselves to deal with it.
Oh,
you know?
Okay. We've gone so much off the rails yeah. of the main subject of this podcast. Do you think that would be like historical tourism? Do you think it would be educational yeah. or?
No, I think there would be travel agents like Total Recall, like.
Well, I think
you want to go, Mr. Blakeney? And they'd be like, I'd really always wanted to see like. The Renaissance, and you're just like, right. and you're like, okay, well, we can get you there.
I think there'd be two ways to look at it. There's trips you can go, historical trips that there's a reverence to the place you're going. You understand that this is a bad thing that happened. Then there's people that fucking base jump off a cliff that is over someplace where people died, but they're like, check out this extreme fucking experience.
Mount Vesuvius!
Yeah, people died down there. Whatever, it's cool. We're fucking. So there's yeah. gonna be both
sides. Snowboarding down Mount Vesuvius,
I know, right, man? Oh, look at that guy. He's not moving. Whatever, go man. It's like I think you're gonna have like people will choose to focus on the part of it they want to focus on it, and unfortunately, like it'll be an individualistic thing to say, do I want to learn from this or do I just want to continue living?
So nothing would change.
Nothing would change. It would not change. I don't think it would.
Time is you know a flat what? Circle.
Well, it is,
well
yeah.
here's what I would say, and this is kind of getting us to my final thought, is that I think the self-defensive mechanism of time and quantum leaping is real. So if this were able to come about and you really were like, I can't change history, I can't kill Hitler, I can't stop the genocide of Native Americans, whatever you're You, but you know what you probably could do? Hmm. You probably could just do an act of kindness in whatever time you leap to.
Oh, yeah.
You could just like, I can solve this problem for this person. And it's not going to change the world. It's not going to change the space-time continuum. But it's probably going to change their day or their life or whatever.
Little acts of kindness. Pay it backwards.
Pay
is what they say.
Yeah.
When you time travel. When you time travel, you pay it backwards.
But then don't you run into the problem of the butterfly effect?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yes, but the butterfly effect runs counter to, those of you who are listening, the butterfly effect. Is what is
Ashton Kutcher's
best movie of all?
Yeah, it's so good.
I mean, does he have another movie?
No.
Didn't he have one where he couldn't have sex for a long time?
No, that was Josh Hartnett.
The same guy though, right?
Kind of.
Yeah, maybe. I think he had another movie with wasn't it Natalie Portman?
Maybe. I don't know.
Or was that the Justin Timberlake? They made the same movie.
Yeah.
Natalie Portman and Mila Kunis and Justin Timberlake and Ashton Kutcher made the same movie
yeah.
about like friends that start hooking up and yes. fall in love.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Anyway, the idea is that a butterfly flaps its wing in South America and it causes a mudslide somewhere else yeah. because everything
if you do
is
that act of kindness, even if you're not changing right. some major historical event, even if you do that act of kindness, does that radiate?
But my point is, here's my point. If you go back in time and you see a bus about to hit somebody and you push them out of the way and they live, then their life was not consequential enough to affect the future.
Ooh, okay.
Mm. Not to the future, but to them it might be.
Sure.
Mm. Right? Like, okay, well, they're going to die 2 weeks from now.
But then I go back in time and tell them that fact. And yeah. they're just like, oh, I'm so not consequential.
Yeah. I'm going to go jump in front of a bus. And I'm like, die of colon cancer.
God, I just did this.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe don't be kind. Maybe just go back and just go rampage.
Well,
with
I think that's the really interesting and fun part about this topic is like, I can be a devil's advocate and just make jokes, but like, it is kind of that weird, like, there's no foundation in any argument when it comes to this stuff.
Right.
Like, there's no, like,
no, right.
You say you can make a bear. It was like, well, but butterfly effect. It's like, oh, push them out of a bus. It's like, well, then they jump. Like,
yeah.
You can always find that other angle to it that makes it interesting. Mm-hmm.
What a great job.
Bus driver?
No. If they're like, okay, you've been recruited for this. We've figured out this whole thing. We're just not, like, we're not 100% sure that we're right. So we're going to have you go back and do, you're just going to slap this guy in the past. And then you're going to fuck him.
That would be the best job. Yeah.
It'd be the best job. Like, we just go back,
so fun.
Kick him in the nuts. We'll bring you back. We'll see.
It's like on a Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah. Just like, just walk up to some guy and they're just like,
But inevitably, you know, you would come back one time and just like the world's on fire.
Yeah. That's
just like, oh man.
Yeah,
like,
I really bitch.
Should have stopped with the nut kick. Yeah. Final thought, Shane Smith.
So what's interesting, you mentioned the death thing. So I wonder if, are our deaths tied to another?
Are we entangled with another? Yes, I think that's so that why we have.
If
ghosts.
We die somewhere else, we die here.
Maybe. Well, if we die here, do we still live somewhere else?
Oh, I believe. I 100% believe.
You know, if you think of clockwise and counterclockwise, like when we die, does the other part of us turn the other direction, and now we live in this life?
Oh, that's how I always assumed it was.
Right.
But I always wondered. But now I'm wondering if one is destroyed. But you can't. Can you?
Can't.
You can't destroy.
There's no Horcrux.
Yeah, you can't do that. Yeah. And my wife actually was. She was driving the other day, and she went through an intersection. A car ran a red light and just about nailed her. And I said, "Oh," I gave her a big hug. I was like, "I'm so happy you're here because I know that there's another universe where I lost you. Like you died somewhere." And I got to keep you in this one. So that's cool.
Well, that's really a sweet thought.
Yeah. But I was like,
would you find comfort in the other way?
If she died?
Yeah. But like, oh, but I know.
I know in another universe.
Shane 24/6.
Yeah. Absolutely. Because I had a friend die a couple months ago. And I know that he lives somewhere else. And just based on recreation or reincarnation, I know he's going to be back in 3 years or however long they think that it takes for people to reincarnate. So I've bought into that 100%, just, you know, placate myself. But no, I believe that like, there's no death. Like when people die in my life, I'm sad. This is like you were there. I got the call that my friend died and we had to record a podcast. They may have been the one you were on. I need to go back and look at the date.
This is entangled right here.
This is
crazy.
Oh.
But like, I got a text literally like 5 minutes before we started recording. I was like, oh, my friend just died. And I was like,
oh, wow.
I was like, I'm going to deal with that.
We all got to text each other when we get home tonight.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't like this.
I'm so glad we didn't smoke weed before this.
I know, right? I know. But yeah, so like, I think that I love this. And we've talked about this on the pod before. They've discovered that they think consciousness is tied to, and this is recent too, they've realized consciousness doesn't exist in the body. It doesn't. The brain is just an antenna. They've physically and scientifically figured this out. Right. That's not how it works.
The iCloud,
or the God cloud, whatever it is. But they think that memories and consciousness are fed to our brain through like quantum tubes in our brain. And you've talked about that on the pod. You mentioned that on the pod. So I think all of this is tied somehow. And I can't wait to see.
Do you go as far as simulation or just ethereal?
I think that people think a simulation means it's not real, but but a simulation is real.
Right.
We are living in a simulation. It's a real simulation.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do think that's true. Like what? Like my question back to this was like, define what a simulation is. Like you're born one day out of nothingness, and you wake up, and you're in a world that is completely controlled by forces that you do not understand or have any control over. And you're told that all of that is the real world, but almost none of us understand any
of
that.
That's because, like, when you, if I were to buy into the, this is just how I think, where my mental state is and how kind of cynical I am in the world, is like, if I were to buy into the idea that this is a simulation and like there is definitely something bigger, then it's like, this doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah. You have that whole, well, like, fatalistic.
I know. Yeah, exactly.
Which is why I've not worked hard at anything in my life. Yeah. Yeah. It makes it hard. Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah, but that's what, but if you're like, if you even, it, but like what you just said is kind of jarring to my thought about it, the way you said, like, it, but it's still real.
Right.
Like, it still matters.
Yeah. But if you woke up in an amusement park, and you're like, I don't know what's going on. And people are like, yeah, there's rides and candy and it's all free. And you're just like, what the? And you're having a blast. And then you're like, people are like, well, you know what? You can leave the park. It's, and you're like, why wouldn't we leave? And then you leave the park. You're like, man, outside the park fucking sucks.
Yeah, this is brutal.
What was I thinking? Yeah. And you're like, yeah, we told you not to leave.
Yeah.
Like, you, like, just ride the rides, enjoy the ride, like, have fun.
Brent, is that your final thought?
What's your final thought,
Brent? My final thought is I still don't understand that planet in Interstellar. That's not my problem.
Just wait till I text you.
No, I think I love talking about this. I don't believe I don't know. I don't think I believe time travel is possible, but the idea of, there's so much we don't understand, like you said, about like quantum entanglement and stuff, to the point where it's like, I also think, like, hey, let's not.
Right.
Like, we don't understand so much. Like, let's not meddle outside of our realm of understanding.
Mm-hmm. But how do you get understanding without meddling?
Right.
I mean, I think, but it's like a slower process.
Oh, like a scientific
process. Like, if you can start to understand how, like, particles can, if you can figure out how particles can move from one place to another without actually traversing that distance.
Yeah.
Then it's like, okay, well, let's start looking at maybe like a step bigger, but it's like, you don't understand how quantum entanglement works. And now there's a desktop version.
Yeah.
Of how you can do it yourself.
Yeah.
It's like, let's.
Yes.
But how is that any different than a phone? I don't know how text messages go through.
Yeah.
Yeah, but somebody does.
But somebody knows how that little thing works. There's got to be somebody.
I hope that when quantum leaping becomes a mobile device app, it's only available on Androids. So you fucking iPhone fucking snobs. Yeah,
we'll have a green portal, you'll have a blue portal.
Yeah.
whatever the chat bubble is.
I want to leap with
and
John.
And you meet somebody, they have a green portal, and you're like, gross.
Gross. Not doing that.
God, I can't even send good quality videos through your portal.
Ugh, gross.
I like this. This has been really fun. I know that we have to get out of here, but I hope before we do, you can tell us where quantumly people can follow you on social media.
Oh, yeah. You can follow me all social platforms at 67 Comedy, all spelled out. SIXSEVENCOMEDY for all that stuff. Twitter, Instagram.
Killer.
Mostly Instagram.
Yeah, check them out. And maybe catch that John Reap show October 7th.
October 7th at Mystic Distillery in Durham, North Carolina.
Hell yeah.
It's always a good show.
This has been Conspiracy Beer Me. Had a blast. I'm Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith. And this was
Brent Blakeney.
And in the words of Sam from Quantum Leap, oh boy.
Oh boy. That was really fun.